I'm joined in the studio by Corrie Hart, a local student who last year went to Bangladesh for the summer. Corrie, you went to Bangladesh for your International Citizen Service. What exactly is that?
ICS, or International Citizen Service, is an overseas volunteer programme funded by the government that basically tries and gets you involved in volunteering in developing countries.
How did you get into ICS?
I originally did NCS, which is National Citizen Service, which is aimed for 16 to 17 year olds to try and get them more engaged in the local community, so through fundraising and for helping out in the local community. And to get help us get ideas on what we could do, as for our action plan for NCS, we had a previous participant come and give presentations on the thing that she did. But she had to cut her kind of presentation short because she had to rush off for ICS, and she did a bit of explaining what ICS was, which is sort of the next stage up, if you like. So it's, instead of national, it's international.
How did the chance of going to Bangladesh come up? Did you have to apply?
Yes, I applied on the ICS website, and it was just kind of name, dates that I was available for, why I was interested, that sort of thing. And then later, after that, I was given an email saying come back for an interview. We're normally with an allocated charity, so in my case it was VSO. And so I went down to London and had an interview, and it was just sort of, it was an interview to see how you'd react and if you were able to adapt and kind of team building skills as well, sort of thing. Because obviously some developing countries, they're such a different, because the countries are so wide. So you have Muslim countries, Christian countries. So those things like, could you go? Because the program is around 3 months or 10 to 12 weeks. So could you last 3 months without drinking if you went to a Muslim country, that sort of thing, like smoking and all that. So, yeah.
So what happens after the interview stage?
After the interview stage, after a couple of weeks, you get an email back from that charity saying, well done, you're through, and normally get allocated a country. In my case, I was with VSO and I got allocated Nigeria. Unfortunately, the dates were a bit mixed up, so if I did go to Nigeria, I would miss like the first 2 weeks of university, which I was just about to start. So what I did, I phoned up and said, this is my problem. Is there any way I could either leave a week or so early so I can get back in time for uni? Or is there any way I could change programme or country so I'd be able to start uni? And luckily they did accommodate me. So I moved from a VSO to the VSO charity to YK International, which is the kind of international branch of YMCA.
So that's how you got into going to Bangladesh then. Did you have to reapply with YCARE, or because you've already done the application, was that not the case?
Well, I'd already done the interview and got through, so I didn't have to. It was just kind of like a transfer sort of thing.
So to sum up, you've been allocated to YCARE International and now given a place in Bangladesh. How much does a trip like this cost?
Well, ICS is funded by the Department for International Development, so they subsidise most of the cost. So you only have to fundraise either £800 or £1,500, depending on your income or parents' income if you're quite young. In which case it's quite easy because you're fundraising. You get lots of support from the charity to fundraise, and there's also loads of advice on the ICS website and then the charity's website, so YK International. So I fundraise is doing various activities. I did a sponsored bungee jump, which was quite fun and I'd really want to do again. And I also did things like cake sales and just generally sponsors as well. So, but there are loads of different things you can do. You can fun runs, you can do whatever you want, really.
And once you've actually fundraised, what happens to that money then?
That goes towards cost in vaccinations. Obviously, if we're going to countries and you need them, they pay for that as well. So it goes towards that. Travelling, so airplane tickets, travelling when you're in country, and kind of meals and food you get in country, because you'll stay with a host family. So they'll get money to the host family to let you kind of pay for extra food and stuff.
And did YCARE do a lot of the organisation of the flights and the transfers and the vaccinations?
Yeah, they paid for all the flights. They give you a date, this is your flight number, be at Heathrow at this time, sort of thing. And they will help you get, like, if you need a bus to Heathrow, a taxi to Heathrow, or wherever you're going, they will pay for that as well. Vaccinations, they'll just give you a deadline. All your vaccinations will be need to be done at this point. Go to a local GP to get it if you can. If not, they give you loads of information to where you can get these vaccinations from, and they will pay for it. And if you do need to go and get a train or bus to these places to get the vaccinations, they will also help towards payment for that.
So what sort of vaccinations did you need to have then?
Well, I had things like hepatitis A and B, rabies, but of course it varies from country to country depending on where you're going. So,
you were allocated to Bangladesh, but what other countries does YCare work in?
They obviously go to Bangladesh, they go to Guatemala, Senegal, and a few others, but those are the main ones for ICS. And then obviously the other charities, they go to more countries, so they go to places like India. They did go to Nepal, but when I went, it was just after the earthquake, so they didn't have any expeditions or programs there. You go to Cambodia, different places in Latin America. They're kind of all spread across the world.
What preparation did you have for the trip?
Well, once we got given our country and all of this, YCare organised like a training weekend. So you have a training weekend where you kind of meet everyone you're going to go to Bangladesh with, or countries with, or everyone else, yeah. And you go through like different scenarios, how to prepare. You're given like a handbook with like loads of information about your country and what to expect, sort of thing. And they're always willing to, like, you email them if you have any questions or anything like that. Once we flew out, we stayed in Dhaka, which is the capital, for a week and had like a week's in-country training. It was more kind of real then, sort of thing. And you'd also had the opportunity to meet your in-country partners, because we're paired up with a local volunteer from the local community in wherever you're staying in that country, so we were able to meet them.
What sort of things did you actually do once you arrived in Bangladesh then?
We did a wide range of things. We went in Bangladesh and about a group, there was a big group of us in Bangladesh, and we split up into three locations. So at Chittagong, which is obviously a major city, there was Kilogram, a more rural setting, and Birisiri is where I went, which is up by the north, and again, it's very kind of rural village kind of life. And there was about kind of seven of us all together, or seven UK volunteers, and then obviously our counterparts as well. So there were about 14, 15 of us all together. And we got a supervisor as well, who was a local person. We got allocated host homes. So we stayed with a local family. We weren't staying in a group. We stayed with a local family so we could get more in the community. And we did a various of different things. We did loads of surveys of the local communities, so we could find out what kind of information we could do with that. We did kind of women workshops to help educate the women on things such as early marriage, dowry, education, domestic violence, and how they could like cope with that. We did men's workshops on gender equality. We did mixed workshops on like health and sanitation. We did kind of career workshops in the local high school to kind of see what different careers they could go into, and we were trying to encourage women to more STEM pathways, as there's a lack of that. We did loads of work. We did repairing roads, because Bangladesh is I've got a problem with flooding, so we helped prepare roads and flood defences as well. And we also taught English at primary schools three times a week. So various things.
Sounds like you got up to a lot in Bangladesh. What did you like the most?
My favourite thing was community mapping, which was to basically, you went around with a phone and GPS kind of roads. You went and find out what different buildings were. So like the major buildings, like if there was a mosque or a church or a Hindu temple, that sort of thing. And it was basically to help aid workers distribute aid during recurrent natural disasters. So Bangladesh is obviously big risk of flooding. So it was to try and find high points of where people would gather if there was major flooding. So if there was ever need for like the Red Cross to come and help, they would have some idea where the major places people would kind of congregate. But I just loved it because you went across all the paddy fields or the road, you met kind of all these kind of people who would like come and say hello. So that's why, that was my favourite thing, yeah.
And tell me about the Bonhuto project.
The last cohort, so the people from YCare, who was there previously, discovered this hostel where the children were living away from their families, but were mainly led to fend for themselves, and the conditions were very poor. And the Bonhuto Project was a way that the children would come to the YMCA, which is like the main hub for where we were kind of, that's where we mainly did all our work. And to come to the YMCA every day and have a meal kind of every Friday. So they'd have one nutritious meal at least once a week and they could come and play. So that was the kind of major thing to kind of keep going as well. And we're trying very hard now to keep that going and try and get the condition of these children a lot better than it is. At the moment right now, one of the previous members from the last cohort has come back to Bangladesh to visit to try and get a local NGO involved so we can keep this funding up, so they can keep going to the YMCA, trying to get contacting lawyers to see if we can progress this further. And also to the older kids, they've got them involved in the kind of YMCA youth thing so they can become more part of a community. That was also one of my favourite things, like playing with the children, and it was such an important part of the whole experience.
So you've spoken about working with the Bangladeshi children, staying with the host family. Was there a language barrier?
There was. It was easier after a while because we were split up in the three different locations. Ours was quite rural, so they obviously have limited contact or connection with kind of the English speaking or internationally, kind of the international world. So you found like the people, the in countries from Chittagong, they spoke very good English. Well, they spoke more American English because they had American schools. So they spoke, when they spoke English, they spoke an American accent, which took a while to get used to. But kind of the more rural, they were not as confident because obviously they weren't in contact with it as much. So at the beginning, they were kind of, there was a sort of boundary or struggle, but once we got to know each other, it was fine because they got more confident. We got, well, they tried to teach us Bengali, but that was a problem. The thing was, with where I was staying, it was a Garo community, so they're indigenous people. And so they actually spoke their own Garo language. So they spoke Garo Bengali. So English was actually their third language. So in that way, it was quite more difficult as well. But it was fine overall. They do tend to, YCare or ICS do tend to try and match, get the in-countries to have at least a good level of English, so there is, you can communicate well and even have a joke about it, so it's fine.
I gather public transport is quite different to in Britain. How did you travel around?
The main transport is rickshaw, which is quite hard to explain, but basically think of a bike with like a seat on the back and you just sit there, and that's the way, the majority of the ways we kind of went around. There was also kind of CNGs, which I suppose you're probably more likely to call a tuk-tuk because that's what you see in kind of Marigold Hotel kind of thing. But if you want to go long places, then normally bus.
Would you go back to Bangladesh?
I would. I would love to go back. Probably a shorter visit because we went during the monsoon season, so it was all flooding basically and rain. I would love to go back kind of January, like this kind of year, January, February kind of time. So because that's kind of like the winter season, it's cooler, but it's also kind of the fruit season, the wedding season, so you have a lot more colour. So I would love to go back and like see everyone again.
And perhaps more importantly, would you recommend the ICS programme?
Oh yes, definitely. Just kind of the sense you get from helping the community, especially, and like the contrast you make, it makes your whole kind of how you view things quite different. And it also, on a personal level, gives you a lot more confidence to go out and do stuff. I would now quite happily go off and travel somewhere, whereas before I'd be like a bit apprehensive. But yeah, definitely, it's a really good opportunity and I would take it if you could.
Corrie, thank you for joining me in the studio today.